Douglas Crook, Sunday AM, November 13th, 2011.
Last week we began a series on what is Christian fellowship. When we read the word fellowship, it's one of those familiar vocabulary words for us. We read it often, we talk about it, we use it often. But as we study it in the New Testament, we find out that the Christian fellowship is actually fourfold. In other words, it has four aspects. And last week we had the first aspect of our fellowship, and that is that we have fellowship with God the Father. This morning we're going to look at our fellowship with God the Son, and then in the future lessons in the series, we'll understand that we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and then lastly, our fellowship with one another. We need to understand what it means. We need to understand how fellowship really does manifest itself among God's people, because there are all kinds of ideas about what fellowship should be and what it is. But the Bible's very clear, what is it that we fellowship together with? The word that's used in the New Testament that's most often translated fellowship is a word that the Greeks used, as we had last week. It simply means participation or partnership. It's a pretty simple concept, and it means pretty much what we mean in our English vocabulary. When you have partners, whether it be business partners or whether it be marriage partners, you share certain things together. You share certain benefits together, blessings, but you also, there is a mutual sharing of responsibilities in a partnership. And all of that translates into the doctrinal teaching on Christian fellowship in all of these areas, whether it be with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, or with other believers. So to help us dissect and truly understand and experience true fellowship in all of these partnerships, I've got 5 points that we're using to study each of these. We used them last week in our fellowship with the Father. We'll use them again this week in our fellowship with the Son. But that is relationship, partnership, degrees of fellowship. Number 4 is what breaks fellowship. And number 5, what restores it. So we'll use those 5 points again as our outline to understand that we have fellowship with the Son of God. Before you can have that mutual sharing of blessing and responsibility, you have to have some kind of relationship. There is no fellowship apart from a relationship. And that is true in these partnerships as well. When Christ died for us on the cross, He, by His love and His grace and His faithfulness, He established a relationship with us. We didn't establish it. We don't maintain it. He, by His love and His faithfulness, accomplished for us what was necessary to begin a relationship, which then would become the foundation for our fellowship. We're not going to look at all the relationships that are ours. I'll just briefly mention some that come to mind, and you may have some others that come to mind. But because Jesus died on the cross for me, He became my Redeemer, and I am the redeemed. That's a relationship. We're not strangers. He died for me. He's my Redeemer. That's one relationship, one aspect of our relationship. He became my Good Shepherd who laid down His life for me. I became one of the sheep of His pasture. That's a relationship now that is eternal. I don't maintain it. He established it by His own faithfulness. Thank God for that relationship based on His grace and His faithfulness. He became my high priest, and I became one of His people. He became my elder brother, and I am His brother. Wonderful relationships. And all of those have so many aspects of fellowship that are built on top of those relationships. But the one that I want us to focus on, if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2. To me, this relationship that is spelled out for us by the Apostle Paul is the relationship that gives the broadest foundation for us to enjoy the greatest degree of fellowship with the Son of God. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian believers, and he said, I'm jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. This is a relationship that every child of God has, and that is as the espoused partner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jump over to Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul also makes mention of this relation. This time in which we live on this earth is a time of engagement. We are not yet. Christ does not yet have a bride. But every child of God who comes to accept Jesus as their Savior, and that's how you become a child of God, this relationship belongs to you. You are espoused to Christ. You are engaged. And this is the beginning step of even a deeper relationship and a deeper fellowship that is known as the Lamb's wife. But in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 25 and 27, Paul wrote this: Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the cleansing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any other such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Jesus gave himself that he might present to himself a spotless bride. And in this time of engagement, every child of God has been invited to this place and has this relation. You are engaged to be the eternal partner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our relationship with Jesus, some of these others that we've talked about as the sheep of his pasture, that relationship will never change. The relationship is solely established and maintained by his grace. In the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "All that the Father gives me, come to me. The one that comes to me, I will by no means cast out." That relationship is eternal. I am eternally a child of God. But now, based on these other invitations, this relationship as the espoused partner of Jesus Christ, that relationship can change, because not every Christian is going to enter in to the final marriage with the Lamb of God. It's for every child of God. God doesn't save some to be a part of that company and some not to be a part of it. It is for everyone. But it depends on how much we understand about this teaching of fellowship. How much do you understand that you've been called to participate, and how much do you participate in that fellowship with the Son of God? It will determine whether or not you sit in the throne with Jesus Christ. So let's begin in concerning what we do share. Now that we've established the foundation that we have a relationship with the Son of God, what exactly does the Bible say we share with the Son of God, that we participate with him? 1 John 1 and verse 3 we had last week, but let's read it again concerning the Son. 1 John 1, 3, "That which we have seen and heard and declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us." And that's our Greek word that means partnership or participation. "And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Now jump over to 1 Corinthians 1:9, and if you don't get anything else this morning, I want you to, at least in your mind, if you're not a highlighting person, that's fine, but at least in your mind and your heart, I want us to be in awe of what God has revealed to be true concerning you, concerning me, and our fellowship with Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, "God is faithful, by whom we were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, it's a short, simple little verse. And when I read statements like this, I am overwhelmed about what God has said to be true. You know, people get excited about a lot of things in this earth. People are looking for certain exciting things in churches. They want exciting things to do. Somehow, my prayer for me continually and for you is that we would get excited about the fact that we've been called to be the eternal partnership with Jesus Christ. Who is this one? He is the heir of all things. And I'm called to participate in who he is and what he has. He's the Lord of lords and King of kings. And I'm called to be part of who he is and what he's doing. I don't know about you, but that thrills my heart. I don't need all the other things that people are focusing on and searching for and running after when I know that I've been called to fellowship with the Son of God. Saints, there is nothing more exciting than that. And if I fail to present it as such, then pray for me. But saints, it's not because I don't believe it. God has called me to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. There are some things that we already participate in, and we all participate. We read last week concerning the cup of blessing, the blood of Christ, and the bread that is broken, the body of Christ. We all already participate of the very life of Christ by virtue of the miracle of regeneration. We've been born again. We have the very life of Christ within us. And if we had nothing else, if we didn't participate in nothing else, that would be enough, wouldn't it? Saints, I don't fear death. Oh, I don't like all the things that as we get closer, if the Lord takes us through old age, and I don't like all those things. But saints, even in those things, I'm going to find my joy and my peace and my comfort knowing death cannot separate me from the love of God. Because I already have participated of the life of Christ, and it's eternal. But as we go to the third point of our outline, we have a relationship, many relationships with Jesus Christ. We share certain things with him, and some of those things all of his children share and will share forever. We'll share that eternal life forever. But then as you continue to study concerning our walk with Jesus Christ and our fellowship with him, we understand very quickly that there are degrees that we can enjoy, beginning right now. And the degree of fellowship that we enjoy in this life right now is going to determine the degree of fellowship that we enjoy in eternity. So this life matters. Sometimes I think people think that I'm looking past this life and you're all heavenly minded and you just overlook this life. No, again, if I misrepresent that, forgive me. This life matters. What you do and say today matters, because the degree that you enjoy fellowship with Jesus Christ now will determine your eternity, your place in eternity. This is taught all through the scripture, and especially more fully revealed to the Apostle Paul. Every believer is invited to enjoy the fullest degree of fellowship with Jesus Christ. Those who do not enter into the fuller degree of fellowship, it's not because Jesus didn't want them to. If we could somehow... Jesus loves you. And it's because he loves you, he's constantly inviting you deeper and deeper. And even those times when we fail, the love of Jesus Christ, he doesn't want to leave you in that failure. He invites you to acknowledge it and to get up from it and then to continue in the path of fellowship. But saints, do you value the things that we share with Jesus Christ? Let's turn to Ephesians 3. When I think of all the things that are going in this world and in our own nation as we are going through another political season, you know, when I see everything that's going on and all the parties and all the candidates, you know what comes to mind? You know what this country needs? You know what this planet needs? It needs a kind, wise, loving sovereign. And there's one coming. And that's the one that I want to get close to. That's the one that I want to stand and associate with. Jesus Christ has what you need. He invites you to share all that he is and all that he has. Ephesians 3 and verses 8 to 12. He's let us in on something that we should value. The Apostle Paul writes, and he says, "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." What is it we're called to share? The unsearchable, the unending, the infinite riches of Christ. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Now, I'm going to be honest with you here. The word fellowship here in this passage is not the same one that means participation and partnership. This word actually means dispensation. But the thought of what we share, this revelation of this dispensation, is pertinent to what we share in Jesus Christ. We have been let in on the plans and the purposes of the Almighty God. He's revealed it to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul faithfully shared it with others, and now we are to share it with others as well. But this is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent. Why? What, for what reason? That now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the church, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. What a glorious calling we have. Now, saints, I realize that when we talk about fellowship with Jesus Christ and what we share with him, some of you might want me to start with, healing power, or prophetic word, or a lot of those things that people are running after today. We need to get back where we esteem the privilege to having been let in on the counsel of the eternal God. I know what God is doing today. I look at the world, and if I just looked at the world, and whether it be my small little world or the universe, man, things would be awful confusing. What in the world is going on here? Saints, I know what's going on. I know where I'm headed. I know where this world is heading. And it's not because I'm so smart. It's because God has let me in on what he's doing through Jesus Christ. Number one, you know what he's doing? He's saving all of those who will call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever will may come. And I'm his ambassador. I'm his voice to tell those that are lost that Jesus will save them for eternity. That's the first thing he's doing. And so I know that's what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be telling others about Jesus. I also know that he's preparing a church and he's preparing a bride for his son. And I can be a part of that. Not only can I be a part of that company, but I can be a part of letting others in on knowing what he wants of them and what he wants to do for them. 2 Timothy 2. But saints, if we don't value this fellowship, if we don't value this fellowship of the mystery, that we have been let in on the counsel of God, and to understand what a privilege that is. So many people are confused and lost and hurting, and they don't know what life's all about. Saints, I'm glad I know what it's about. And again, that's not a boast in me, but it is a glorying in my fellowship with Jesus Christ. It's because of that fellowship I've been let in on this. I participate in this. And so do you. 2 Timothy 2:15, if I really want to walk in fellowship with Jesus Christ, what's the first thing I need to do? Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, Brother Doug, here it is. You guys are always beating us over the head with that. Well, if you consider it beating over the head, then you still don't get this concept of fellowship. What a glorious privilege to study the Word of God. And it's not a matter of human intelligence. God can give you a revelation by the Holy Spirit in your heart. Now, you may not be able to explain it, as some can. You may not be able to articulate it, but you can believe it and know it and share it with others, because that's the work of the Holy Spirit. We've been called to fellowship with the Son of God. Do all Christians possess a knowledge of the purposes of God? This is where we get into degrees of fellowship. And this will also connect to our thoughts when we get to our fellowship with others. So many times we have been accused, I personally have been accused of elitism. You know, you don't appreciate other brothers, Christians. And that simply is not the case at all. And I emphasize it from Scripture. And yet, people need to understand there are degrees of fellowship, first and foremost, with the Son of God. If we do not value the Word of God to the point that we want to study it and devour it and then let it transform us, then what we are doing is saying, Jesus, I appreciate what you're offering me, but no thank you. Do you really want to say that to the one who died for you, who gave his all for you? Do you really want to say, oh, that studying stuff, you know, knowing the Bible, that's for Brother Doug, that's for the other teachers, that's too much work and it's kind of boring. It's only boring if you don't understand the value of fellowship with Jesus Christ. It will give you strength for today. It'll give you strength and wisdom and direction for tomorrow. There is nothing of greater value than to know the Word of God and to obey it. Surrender your life to its authority. Proverbs 25 and verse 2. Do you want to reach the highest degree of fellowship with Jesus Christ in this life and in eternity? Well, here it is. Proverbs 25 and verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. Some people wonder, why are some things more difficult? Why are some truths deeper truths? Why didn't God just put it all out there? God knows what he's doing. And he's not teasing you. But he needs to know that you value fellowship. He needs to know that you value walking close to the Lord Jesus Christ. And a part of the way that we manifest our surrender to the will of God is by desiring to search out the things that may not just be right there on the surface, but that are clearly revealed in the Word of God. If you have trouble reading and studying the Word of God on your own, fall on your face before God and say, God, give me a hunger like never before. Those of us that study it all the time and have been in church all our life, may that be our same prayer. Lord, intensify as never before the Word of God. And saints, we need to have that kind of hunger and that kind of thirst. The more that we study the Word of God and the more that we apply it to our heart, something's going to happen. We're going to enjoy a greater degree of sharing with Jesus Christ of all that he is. And that includes his comfort. That includes his wisdom. That includes his direction for our life. So many of God's people don't know the sweetness of walking with the Lord because they don't value his fellowship. And it begins with understanding what he's provided for you in that partnership. That comes from the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. All the other good things that are found in walking with the Lord Jesus Christ are found from knowing what his will and his purpose is for your life. Until you know that and until you surrender it, and that's the problem. So many of God's people know what the Bible says, and I've had them tell me, Brother Doug, I know what the Bible says, but my case is different. Well, I'm sorry, I don't buy it. And sooner or later, they're going to find out. They're going to prove the Bible right. And sometimes it's because of the wrong choices and the negative consequences that come from their choices. They're going to find out God was right. The Bible's right. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but instead of knowing the Word of God and ignoring it, if we will know it and surrender to it, something will happen. But we, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the same Spirit of the Lord. Where is it that you behold the beauty of the Lord? In his Word. And then as you see his plan and his purpose in his Word, and then you surrender to it, you'll see it in your life as well. And you'll be transformed from glory to glory. You see the degrees of fellowship. Not all Christians do that. Every Christian is invited to. And this is why God has impressed upon me so much in my own ministry to encourage all of God's children to always desire his best. Now, I'm glad for the grace of God that even the most carnal Christian is going to enjoy heaven because of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. I thank God for that message of grace that saves us once and for all. But saints, that same grace that saves us is the exact same grace that teaches us to live godly in order that we might enjoy the fullness of fellowship, not just one or two degrees of it, but the fullest degree of fellowship. Philippians 3:10. Business partners share everything. If the business is having a rough time, all the partners share in the rough time. If the business is prospering, all the partners enjoy the prosperity. Right now, we live in a world that doesn't think much of our partner, or his ways, or his word. Jesus Christ is not real popular in this world. And in those few corners where he appears to be popular, if you look closer, you understand that's not the Jesus we're talking about. Not the Jesus of the Bible. We live in a world right now that rejects Christ and his ways. As his partner, if you are faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and his ways, guess what you're going to experience from society? You're going to suffer. Are you willing to share this with Christ as well? We share things, good things, right now in this life. And the best is truly yet to come. But saints, there's also some difficult things in this life. It's difficult when people say they don't want to associate with you because you believe this or because you agree with the Bible. That's hard. It's not pleasant. But saints, are you willing to suffer with Christ? The Apostle Paul was, Philippians 3 and verse 10. He actually called it, this word is our word, fellowship. That I may know him, Paul said, that I might know Jesus. And the power of his resurrection, not just someday, but that power of the resurrection that causes me to walk in the newness of life. To live a life different than the life I lived before I came to be saved. The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. To participate in the rejection that Christ is now experiencing from the world. The fellowship of his suffering being conformed to his death. That is obedient to the will of the Father no matter what it is. Have you made that commitment in this partnership? Because you see, our relationship is based wholly on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, and that relation will never change. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you are eternally a child of God. It'll never change. That's your relation with God, with his Son. But saints, fellowship does involve my obedience, your obedience. And for us to ignore that or pretend that that's not true, it is to throw out Paul's revelation. And saints, we can't do that. Fellowship with Jesus Christ, the degree that we enjoy fellowship now, depends on our faithfulness in this walk with the Lord. Now, that has to come with an asterisk. Because I cannot be faithful apart from the faithfulness of the grace of God. And so it is still his grace by which I overcome, by which I can be faithful. But saints, I have some decisions to make, and so do you. Are we going to walk in fellowship? Are we willing to suffer? Romans chapter 8. Here Paul tells us of degrees of fellowship that will translate into eternity. If we're willing now to walk with him in fellowship, the fellowship of the mystery, the fellowship of suffering, then Paul gives us a promise by the authority of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 verses 16 and 17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That is our relation forever. And if children, then heirs. Every child of God will have a basic inheritance in heaven. They will have a home in heaven. They will have eternal life. They will enjoy the glory of heaven. But there will also be joint heirs with Christ. But there's a condition with this one. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together to that fullest degree. Partnership together. Mutual sharing of the glory of Jesus Christ. Jump over to 2 Timothy 2, where Paul uses a different analogy to describe the same position, that full degree of fellowship in eternity. Notice again the condition. Your relationship is not conditional. Your salvation is God's work and His alone. It's not yours and mine and His. It's His. We simply accept it. But this position, this degree of fellowship in eternity, it does involve my decisions, my surrendering my will to His will. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. The Greek there, it's a strong word. It means a co-regent, one who rules together with another. Partnership, fellowship. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. What? Salvation? No, that place of the Lamb's wife. What a privilege we are called to joint heirship with Jesus Christ. Well, of course, see, this is why we need a real revelation of who Jesus is and that He is coming. And that He is going to set up His kingdom. And that He is going to rule forever. If you don't really believe that, do you see why so many of God's people like to play all sides? You know, kind of hedging all their bets. You know, if this life is all there is, I don't want to miss out on the fun. But, you know, if, you know, heaven is real. It doesn't work that way, saints. I have no other reason for living except for my love for Jesus Christ. And that's not a desperate position. It's a glorious position. It has been my peace and my joy and my direction, and I have no regrets whenever I have said yes to the will of God. Any regrets I have is when I have ignored the will of God. Saints, there is no greater life to live than a life of fellowship. Are there things that break fellowship? Absolutely. 2 Corinthians 11. You need to be aware of these so you will avoid them. 2 Corinthians 11, 2 and 3. We read 2 earlier, the betrothal. But then verse 3 says, "But I fear, lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." That word simplicity, it means what I was talking about earlier, that singleness of mind. I have only one reason to live, and that's to live and to serve and to honor Jesus Christ. Nothing else. It's not about family. I can be the kind of father and grandfather that I need to be only when I live to serve Jesus. But if I live to serve Jesus and then, okay, I'm going to also make my family a pretty big, you know, right up there close. I'm sorry. It's not noble. It's foolish. It's Jesus. And then as I serve Him, then I'll be able to be to my family what I need to be. I'll be able to be the employee or employer that I need to be. I'll be able to be everything else I need to be in all my other relationships only when I walk in fellowship with Jesus Christ. Do you see how it works? But we get it all mixed up. Well, you know, because I love my family, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and provide for them. And, well, I'll leave doing the things that I know Jesus wants me to do. I'm going to put that back on the back burner. I love Jesus and I want to get to Him. Saints, it doesn't work that way. When we are distracted from the simplicity of Christ, our fellowship with Him is impeded. We cannot enjoy it to its fullest, not now and not in eternity. When we find ourselves distracted, and we've all been there, we've all allowed things and people and circumstances and situations to get our mind and eyes off of Jesus Christ. And this is what is so reassuring about the grace of God, is that when I fail and fall short of that singleness of mind, if I will acknowledge it and call it what God calls it, sin, and say, "God, I messed up, I failed, but I want to get back to walking with You," you're going to find that your partner will say, "Come on, I've been waiting on You. I've been wanting You. Come on." Colossians 3, this is what restores fellowship. It doesn't happen just automatically because you want the blessings of being a child of God. That doesn't restore fellowship. But restoring fellowship has to do with going back to the point where you lost fellowship, where fellowship was broken. And that's when you got your eyes off of Christ, when you were deceived from the simplicity that's in Christ. That's what broke fellowship. So guess what's going to restore it? Abandoning everything that got your eyes off of that simplicity and returning to what? Simplicity. Jesus, it's about You and all about You. I'm going to read this lengthy chapter. We'll close with this. I wonder if we'll have a song in closing. But I want to read all 17 verses here, beginning at verse 1 of Colossians 3, so that we understand what fellowship really is, and when it's broken, how we can return to it, and how this is the will of your partner. Jesus wants you to rule and reign with him, beginning in this life and in eternity. If then you were raised with Christ, if that's your relation, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, if you're believing this, if you're accepting this, if you're going to conform to it, therefore, put to death your members which are on this earth. He's talking about how you use your body. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. Those of you that have been in on the Proverbs study on Wednesday, do you see how relevant it is to this church age, those words of wisdom? Put off anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Put it off. You want to walk with Jesus? Put those things off. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. You already possess all of the potential that you need. You already have Christ within you. You have everything you need to live a life of godliness, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Are you thankful for the body of Christ? We should be. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Let it be the Lord of your house, the Lord of your life. Let the authority of the word of God call the shots in everything that you do and say and think. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Saints, if you're in a time when you know you're not enjoying walking in fellowship and obedience with the Lord Jesus Christ, today you can return to that place, that sweet, precious, glorious place of fellowship, by acknowledging that you failed and that you want to return to a life of obedience where the Word of God dwells in you. You can do that today. For the rest of us, may we continue to seek the Lord on a daily basis. Lord, help me not to get my eyes off of you, but may I continue to walk in simplicity, the simplicity of Christ.